Okay. You're listening to CJSF.
We're done.
90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia. Simon Fraser University Campus Radio. Streaming on the internet at www.cjsf.ca.
Hello and welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
I'm going to turn you up a little bit. There we go.
Is that on my end or your end? No, we're good.
Excellent. How have you been, Sebastian? How has the world of gay news treated you? Or just news, I suppose?
Well, I mean, I could tell you that I have vastly improved my life recently by engaging in window dressing.
How?
I mean that literally, too. I bought a double rod for my 2-meter-wide front window, and I have put up shears and curtains, and my living room just looks so much better now. And I know it's a small thing, but when you gain like a foot because you had like this whole drapey thing instead for privacy, and now it's all like an actual window and it all looks actual tidy and all that. I don't know, man. It really can change your life. And now my house plants are in a place where they actually get proper light. Everything's looking up, you know, and it's the little things in life. That's really what I'm trying to get at here. It's not exciting. It's not as world changing as some of the news we'll be talking about later, but I don't know. It's the little things, you know, that there have been times where you call me up and you're so excited. And I'm like, your family was in town last weekend. How was it? And you're like, yeah, fine. I planted new flowers in the flower bed. So I don't know. That's my answer.
Yeah, this is true. Sometimes just a little bit of interior decorating is all you need to change the mood of the day. Now, if our listeners weren't aware, you are listening to two gay men talking about the news. And there's been a lot that's going on. I want to start off, first of all, with a frankly outrageously... outrageously ridiculous story, but there have been easily three of them in this past week.
Okay.
That are just ridiculous. Now, first of all, everyone's gone to go see Barbie or Oppenheimer. Like, that has been, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
I've gone to see neither yet, but... Oh,
well, I mean, you're neither Tom, Dick, nor Harry. So, I mean, it's. I think it's supposed to be, like, the first major, like, first film to cross $1 billion at the box office, directed by a woman. It's the biggest hit of the year, if not for the last year or so. It's absolutely massive, and it's evidently not just women going, because you wouldn't be able to, you know, I don't think they'd hit $1 billion if it was only women going. It's a lot of families, a lot of men are going as well. Myself and Jake went couple of weeks ago. Cannot recommend it enough. I feel like we don't need to necessarily promote the Barbie movie, but my story is I made, you know, you're not supposed to read the comments. There was a story that emerged talking about the sheer amount of essentially homophobic messaging on Justin Trudeau's recent tweet. Now, as a politician, he tweets pretty mundane things, you know, as one
incredibly
does.
Incredibly bland things. I'm sorry, but our prime minister is a bland man.
Oh, politicians are. They express themselves with the color
Some
beige.
Some of them are spicy. It's, like, you could say what you like about the Ford family, but at least they're interesting.
Well, but anyway, it's there's a certain amount of beigeness and sort of corporate cleanliness to politician Twitter accounts. But occasionally they do post family things, especially in the context of what's been happening with Trudeau and Sophie Gregoire Trudeau. Anyway, he went to go see Barbie with his son. It's very exciting. They both wore pink. I was asking my mother this weekend if they wore pink to go see Barbie, and like it's the done thing, and it was very exciting. But can you even begin to imagine the amount of homophobic vitriol that is on that tweet? It is astonishing. Absolutely astonishing.
I think that's true in general, though. A lot of people are just slinging any word they can drum up at Trudeau at any given time. I think this is, some of it is probably genuine homophobia, and some of it's just people, there's a lot of people who just don't like Trudeau, and they play fast and loose with offensive words, with gamer words, as they're sometimes called.
Well, for me, it's like, oh, you know, so glad to see you've come out, and, you know, didn't take you long after leaving Sophie before you, you know, cracked open that closet door. And it's a picture of him and his son going to see a movie. Like, the, you know what I mean?
Creepy. Yeah. That's creepy. Yeah.
Nice, lovely moment, ruined.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the first one. I was like, oh, come on now, people. Like, this is, we can collectively do better.
Have you heard the Barbie movie referred to as the political Rorschach test? Maybe. I've seen a few people saying this. Conservatives think it is conservative. Feminists think that it's feminist. Anti-woke people think that the movie is anti-woke. Everyone is seeing their own politics in that movie. It is so interesting seeing the internet react. Well, not just the internet, social media, just the world over react to that movie. And quite often they look at it and they're like, I don't understand. Like, there are people who are like, I don't understand how this is a feminist movie. And there's other people who are like, I don't understand how this is a conservative movie. I don't understand how this is a progressive movie. Like, it's really interesting that everyone is seeing their own politics in that movie. And they're like, of course it is. And it's so weird. It is such a weird movie. I think, honestly, that's part of how it did so well, is everyone's looking at it as the flag bearer of their own politics.
I cannot really see how you would see that as a conservative movie.
Are you kidding?
You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I haven't. No.
Trust me. When watch it before you respond to that, because it is concise and clearly stated at multiple points. Just listen to any of the monologue. I think there's really good monologue in it. But I want to move on to another ridiculous outrage. That just, the frustration. So Dr. Martens is facing a boycott, right?
Because the orthopedic boot.
Well, I don't think it was designed. I mean, it may have originally been.
It was that's why it's called Dr. Martin, because it's an orthopedic boot for grandmas, and it was just the punk scene who took up on it. But yeah, it's grandmas and punks who love Dr. Martens.
You mentioned it's funny you say that, because my mother loves Dr. Martens, but she is now also literally a grandmother. So that might be a thing.
And I used to wear Doc Martens when I was younger.
And you were also literally a grandmother.
Yes. I came out of the womb a grandmother with a cup of tea and a knitting needle, and my mother was true. Like, oh, that was a painful...
Yeah, the scarring. Anyway, moving on. So Dr. Martens are being boycotted because one person drew on the Dr. Martens. Somebody, a designer in Colorado, customized them. White Dr. Martens, Dr. Martin coloring pens, did their own design, but the design was of a sort of cartoon trans man. So it's sort of just showing this pinkish character. I'm going to just sort of put the thing there so you can
see. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But it's got like the scarring thing so you can see it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. One person customized their shoes, and now the entire company is facing a boycott because an image of the shoe went viral, and they thought Dr. Martin was releasing a trans person's shoe.
Okay.
And no point of that is it accurate. Dr. Martin is not releasing a trans shoe. They are not. There is no reason to boycott them unless you just don't like grandmothers or punk shoes. Mm-hmm. And people have been customizing these shoes for so darn long. It is just outrageous. And then, okay, we're going to go to my favorite.
To give you an
one.
Idea of how customized they are, on the opposite end, in the 90s when I was in high school, yes, I am that old, it was a thing that if people polished their docks with boot black and brought it to a full shine and put white laces on it, it was a dog whistle of white supremacy. And this is not, you know, people use the term dog whistle all the time, but this was actually just like people were like, do not put white laces. This is what it means. Avoid that. And you would occasionally see Doc Martens with white laces. And it was a thing. They're just shoes. You can customize them. You'd be alarmed at how easily it is to customize these things.
Absolutely. Now, my last ridiculous story highlight of the week was, let's take a minute here, because Costa Coffee in the UK is like Timmy's here in Canada. They are all over the place. There are a lot of them. And Costa Coffee is the largest coffee chain in the UK at the moment. It's sort of, it's everywhere. Now, they have lots of images. They have posters in their restaurant. They have posters on social media. They have some pictures on their delivery trucks. There are representations of people enjoying coffee in their thousands across the hundreds of branches of Costa Coffee.
Yes.
Now, one delivery truck has a surfer who is post-surgery, so breast removal surgery scar, in shorts, enjoying a cup of coffee painted on the side of a delivery truck.
Okay, okay.
And that is enough for another boycott in the UK against Costa Coffee. But it gets better. Let me tell you
just,
the
just to clarify, I want to make this very clear. We're talking about one truck, not a campaign.
No, one truck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like one customized shoe or one photo going to Barbie. Anyway, Dr. Heather Lisk said that she was participating in the boycott Costa and tweeted out a picture of her eating at Marks and Spencer's instead. Now, what Dr. Heather Lisk forgot was that about 11 months ago, she also was boycotting Marks and Spencer's for having an approach that was trans-friendly to changing rooms. So she'd actually forgotten that she was boycotting the place that she went to because she was boycotting another place because of this one truck. Like, they can't, she couldn't even keep track of the boycotting to be able to effectively boycott. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. And I just, this week has just been insane.
A third coffee chain that she could go to? That's weird.
She's just going to have to sit at home on her own and make her own darn coffee at this rate.
I mean, do you know what the tragedy is? That the best coffee is usually gas station coffee. It's the best coffee in town and the worst coffee in town is gas station coffee. And it is a roll of the dice. Because sometimes you go in there and you just... And I drink my coffee black because I actually like the taste of coffee. I love that. I would drink decaf. That's how much I like this stuff. But yeah, every so often you get like gas station coffee and it's just mwah! And there's other times where it's like... It tastes like they take the old used tires off of cars and grind them up and then make the coffee out of it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in between. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Gas station coffee. She should be drinking that.
I think these are just examples of this sort of bandwagon outrage. Let's boycott Doc Martens because one person painted a shoe.
Yeah.
Let's boycott a cafe because one truck has a picture of a trans person on it out of the thousands of representations that this store has. You know, it's just asinine. You know, it really is.
Well, like I said, you know, it's the difference between a full campaign. Like, I could disagree with your politics, but if you say, look, they did a full campaign promoting something that I disagree with, I would say, it's your money, it's your choice, you can do what you want, that's fine. But if it's... Are these trucks hand painted? Is it just like somebody? Is each truck painted individually?
You know, I don't know if they're all individually hand painted, but I did look into it, and there was one truck.
One truck. Okay.
Even if there were 10 trucks, I mean, this is getting a bit ridiculous now.
But it's not necessarily something that the full corporation stands behind. It's something that like one person made a choice, and they put
No. Costa Coffee was very much aware of this. But this is the point. You know, Costa Coffee, let's say in the Canadian census, about 1 in 100 people are trans. So 1 in 100 people buying coffee are going to be trans. They have 100 pictures of people drinking coffee, it makes all the sense in the world to have a picture of a trans person. And that's what I think this just boils down to. There are so many pictures of people having coffee that this is just one of the pictures that represents that one person, you know, or the one in 100 people.
You could pretend that all the other ones are trans as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't know. But it's but that's kind of my point here. Like, look, this is so that that truck driving around, the trans person sees it, goes, oh, cool. But, you know, but if you want to see yourself reflected, look at any of the other thousands of images that this coffee chain has put up to represent people. That nice white ladies drinking coffee are the bread and butter of this coffee chain. Like, if they wanted to see that, it is not difficult to see that at this coffee chain. You know, it just, I think whether or not the company is fully behind it is almost irrelevant when they're showing representations of people enjoying their coffee. To purposely not include it, I think is what's weird, not the purposefully including it.
I mean, sometimes it just takes a while to get around to it. I don't know.
It's one in a hundred. You know, you're going to have to get there eventually. Now, one of the things that has come up that is a bit of a debate. Now, I've given you a few examples here. The Doc Martens. Doc Martin did not release this boot. They did release the white boot, and no people have customized them, but the boycott was unrelated to anything they had actually done. The Costa Coffee boycott in the UK is related to one truck and people who cannot, who have had too much caffeine. And the other one that's come up, the other story that's sort of floating around right now is this sort of question of, are some companies, not the ones I've given examples of today, but are some companies making grandiose statements, yes, we fully support trans people using this product or service, because they know that someone is going to boycott them immediately just because, and that it's the 2023 form of outrage marketing. That it's almost irrelevant whether or not you do. It's just about generating the newspaper inches in terms of the response.
I have no doubt what's... Well, I mean, it's sort of like... what was it? They calculated that Donald Trump got something like $800 million in free advertising leading up to the election because everyone was talking about him all the time, even when he wasn't actually... Like, it was just free advertising. And I have no doubt that there's companies out there who are doing the cynical thing, saying, well, we lose more people in the boycotts than we'll gain in the corporate support of, like, everybody buy Bud Light to support them because... the homophobes. And I have no doubt that there are people who are calculating whether it's not drumming that up artificially, just because there are cynical, cold-hearted companies out there who are just happy to do that if it'll affect the bottom line.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you could say that's just capitalism, baby. That's how it works. You know, all marketing is good marketing. You know, there's no such thing as bad awareness campaigns. And I have no doubt that at least one company out there has tried to do that. Whether or not they've succeeded or not, I don't know. It's hard to say.
The way I see it, let's say there are five big, I don't know, hand sanitizer companies. I'm just saying that because I'm looking at one in front of me. And nobody's really talking about hand sanitizer because why would it come up in conversation post-pandemic? No one's really discussing the different brands. It's not relevant. It's not in the... Yeah. It's not in the... oh, what's that word? Zeitgeist. There we go.
Zeitgeist, yeah. It's not just like Gestalt, but no, that's the wrong German word, yeah.
The other German word.
The other German word.
No, it's you know, hand sanitizer is not in the Zeitgeist. So if you can make a lot of fuss and attention, which taps you into the topic of the day, which really, the cause du jour, it really is trans rights at the moment, or lack thereof, depending on where you fall, you know, now suddenly... A lot of people are talking about your hand sanitizer. You know, I mean, for good or for bad, that name recognition, the re-entering the sort of cultural zeitgeist. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think some companies like Costa Coffee in the UK, it was innocuous. It is, we have hundreds of delivery trucks. We like the idea of having them look a bit different from one to the other, reaching different audiences. We need 50 pictures. This is one of them. You know, I think that's fine. I think that sort of innocuous approach is fine. It's inclusion without, you know, without, you know, a big brass band to announce it.
You know?
And I think that works, but I don't know. I feel like it's a lot.
Well, I mean, that's I've always thought that that's the way to do inclusion and stuff like this. I it's not 2001 anymore. You don't need the brass band. Just sort of have them there and don't hide it, but also don't prop it up either, because that's cheap. That feels so cynical. Like, there's a few shows and movies that I like where they kind of reveal, you know, towards the end of the season, towards the end of the movie, that, by the way, this character who's been in the movie the whole time, he has a husband. And I don't know, I think that's the way to do it, because, I mean, unless it is a movie about coming out, at which point the fanfare is the whole point. I don't know. It in current year, it feels weird to make too big a deal out of it. And I think just being present and normalizing it is the way to go about it, without it being cynical or feeling like a cash grab or feeling like they're trying to manipulate, I don't know, Twitter users. Although now it's called X, which is the most unsearchable thing ever. Tweet was a fine word. But anyway... I have no doubt whatsoever that there are people out there who are doing the cynical road and trying to manipulate us into overly talking about your brand of banana other than Chiquita banana, or whatever it is that you're advertising, trying to make a controversy surrounding your, I don't know, toilet paper or whatever. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, you say hand sanitizer is an innocuous example, but it's all of it is stuff like that. It's, you know, it's Gillette razor brands. It's this coffee company.
It's the boots that you might wear. Truly, it's ridiculous. It really is. And
and Nike and Adidas have been through their own thing as well. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's smaller, more innocuous things. It's not. But then again, they're going to make a bigger impact, because, you know, if a car company comes out in favor of or against something, I mean, it's a $20,000 purchase, and you're going to probably buy it because, you know, it has really good anti-lock brakes, or it has the headroom that you need because you're tall, or it has...
Or doesn't get stolen as much as...
Yeah, I mean, the more expensive something is, the more you're going to actually pay attention to the actual quality of the thing, because it's an investment, as opposed to little things like what brand of breath mint you get, because it's such a small decision that you know, if you get a 2% increase in people buying your brand of chewing gum, then that could actually have an impact on your bottom line. So,
well, we did see that Bud Light did lose quite a lot of sales and market share.
Oh, they're knocked out of the top 10, yeah.
Yeah, and they're knocked out of the top spot. I think they might still be in second place or third place. But yeah, no, it didn't go well. I don't know. I want to just stress to our audience here that we know from multiple studies that the vast majority of people, like the actual majority of people, really are not that passionate one way or the other. You know what I mean?
They don't care, and a lot of them don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you have a friend and you're like, this seems unnecessary. But honestly, most of the time, it doesn't affect your daily life. Therefore, it's not really relevant. But I feel like we have a bit of a responsibility when this example of soapboxing on anti-trans hate is so ridiculous that all we can really do is just laugh at it. You know what I mean? Like trying to boycott a coffee shop and accidentally going into another coffee shop that you had previously said that you were also going to boycott. Like, at that point... You're in a house in mirrors of boycotts. Yeah. You know, it's like your only choice is to just go and pick the coffee beans yourself. And then the coffee can be as bigoted as you like. All right.
And it doesn't change anything or accomplish anything either.
No, absolutely not. No, most people really are not remotely bothered by it. And I think that's fine. All right. I'm going to play our first track. This is... I was actually thinking of Galileo by Indigo Girls. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure, go for it. Indigo Girls, a classic.
Now, I say that because I think it's closer to Fine featured in the Barbie movie, so just to kind of like circle back. Mm-hmm. And there was, I think it's Luke Combs did a cover of Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my sister put it on, and I was like, ooh, Fast Car, Tracy Chapman. I love it. And she's like, mm-hmm. Tracy who?
Mm-hmm.
I was
famous black lesbian, yeah.
Yeah.
If you listen to the words and understand it as a black lesbian living in a small town trying to run away with her girlfriend, the song has a completely different meaning and makes a lot more sense. It's a great song.
Yeah. No, it truly is. But I'm like, these, you know, the Indigo Girls, Tracy Chapman, like, they are, they're really having a bit of a moment right now. And mm-hmm. I'm like, this is, you know, lesbian bread and butter. That's what this is.
Good old folk rock, yeah.
Absolutely. Lesbian folk rock, it is truly where it's at. All right, this is Galileo. We're not going to do Closer to Fine because we suspect that people have probably had it played to death. But this mm-hmm. is Galileo by the Indigo Girls, and we shall be back just after this.
On the block, the crime was looking up the truth, and as the bombshells of my daily fears explode, I try to trace them to my youth. And then you had to bring up reincarnation over a couple of beers the other night, and now I'm serving time for mistakes made by another in another lifetime. How long till my soul gets it right? Did any human being ever reach that kind of light? I call on the resting soul of Galileo, king of night vision, king of insight. And then I think about my I never could explain. Some other fool across the ocean years ago must have crashed his little airplane. How long till my soul gets it right? Can any human being ever reach that kind of light? I call on the resting soul of Galileo. Right. Any human being ever reach
Hello and welcome back to Cancun, home of Canada.